Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Tonight, I want to talk to you about unbelief. I want to talk to you about that wrestling match that sometimes takes place between faith and unbelief, faith and doubt. And we're going to talk about how to overcome that. We're going to talk about how as you move in faith and that underlying unbelief or doubt creeps in, how to overcome it, how to push forward and be honest with God that God would meet you right where you are. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We believe your word, oh God. We believe you, Lord. I thank you that you manifest yourself to us, Lord. I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for the precious blood that allows us to enter into the throne room, that allows us to enter into your presence. Tonight, Lord, reveal what the enemy has attempted to conceal. Reveal what you have for us, Lord. Help us to understand more into this story in Mark chapter 9 as we're going to read more revelation from your word, Lord. And by your word and by your spirit, oh God, speak to us tonight a fresh word. And I ask that you just move, Lord, move. And I know you're moving even now in the hearts of those who are struggling with unbelief and doubt. Hallelujah. But as we place our faith in you, Jesus, all things are possible. So, Lord, use me to speak your words and not my own tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin by reading Mark chapter 9. We're going to read verses 14 through 29, but we're going to start with 14 through 19. So let's read Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 19. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they would cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." So here we see the man with the mute son explains his son's condition. He's desperate because his son is being tossed about. He's being tormented. He's being tossed into the water and into the fire. He's having seizures. And these things are taking place. The man first brought his son to the disciples, but they couldn't cast the demon out. Jesus rebukes his disciples and has the young man brought to him. So let's continue to read on in Mark chapter 9, verses 20 to 27. "Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.'" Let's stop there. Jesus was always moved with compassion. As he was moved with compassion, he released the power and virtue within him because the Father, hallelujah, dwelt within him. Hallelujah, the Father dwells within him and he releases the divine power of God. But compassion is what moved him to heal and to deliver. So Jesus said to him, on to verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Let's stop there. Let's ponder that. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. To him who believes in what? To him who believes in Jesus, the Son of God. To him who believes the word of God. To him who believes Jesus is who he says he is. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind could come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." But by prayer and fasting. And I continued on to verse 29. I said I was only going to go to 27, but I went on to 29. And I do think that's important. I think prayer and fasting is important. I'm going to get into that in a second. So Jesus, in this portion of scripture here, in this portion of the chapter, Jesus then assesses the situation by asking how long this has been taking place. He asks this question after the boy draws near to him and goes into convulsions. I believe the reason he asked this question was to have the background story. And the background story is very important when it comes to what this person has been through when we're doing deliverance, what a person has been through, the traumas, how long the devil has been there, how long this demon has been here. It's been important because some people seek out deliverance for their child, for their spouse, for their mother, father, and so on, when in fact the person with the demon doesn't really truly want to be delivered. And if this is the case, it's virtually impossible to get that person delivered. Yes, it is possible, but it's virtually impossible when the person is fighting you because they're comfortable with this demon. And, you know, in my ministry, I deal with deliverance. In my ministry, I talk about demons because there's too many people that don't talk about it. There's too many churches and pastors and leaders that don't talk about it in the church. But we need to see people. I want to see people get free. Mentally, spiritually, physically, and in every way. And the only way to do that is to believe Jesus is who he said he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Son of God. He's the divine Son. So I also believe Jesus asked the question because he was assessing the amount of time the demon had to gain strength within the boy. So the father begs Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So Jesus replies, Jesus goes on and replies, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And what did the father say? How did he reply? He cried out with tears in his eyes and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. This was a man who was pouring out his heart to Jesus. He was being real with Jesus. He was being honest. We need to be real with God. If you're in a place where you're struggling with unbelief and doubt, be real with God. Tell God, look, I'm struggling with this. Or can you reveal more of yourself? Can you show me who you truly are? And he will. He reveals himself through his word. He reveals himself through his spirit, through his presence. But for some reason, if you're still struggling with unbelief, of course, pray. Pray, talk to the Lord, talk to him. It doesn't have to be some kind of ritualistic prayer. Maybe you were taught to say the Hail Mary. Maybe you were taught to say the Lord's Prayer. And I want to say, don't pray to Mary. Don't pray to the saints. Okay, I grew up Catholic, and I'm not trying to bash Catholicism. But stay away from idolatrous ways, praying to other entities and people that aren't God. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Pray to Jesus. Pray to the Father. Believing in Jesus. Because I want to tell you this, you're not going to access the presence of God without faith in Jesus, in believing he is who he says he is. I say that again and again. Why am I saying that again and again? Because some believe in a different Jesus. Hallelujah. Some believe, and I'm not saying that is a good thing. Some believe in another Jesus. I say hallelujah because I believe in the true Jesus, in the Jesus of the Bible. Some believe in another gospel. Some believe in another Jesus, and there's no power in that kind of faith. But in the faith that you have, that you may have in the Word of God, in the faith that you have that Jesus is the Son of God, God manifests in human flesh and dwelt among us. If you have faith in that Jesus, then you can access the presence of God. You can access the promises of God. You can gain salvation and eternal life. So again, this man was pouring out his heart to Jesus. He was honest about his faith in Jesus, but also the underlying unbelief that was fighting to steal his faith. So he was real about his unbelief. Jesus then rebuked the mute and deaf spirit and commanded it to come out of the boy. So not only did he command it to come out, he told the demon, enter him no more. So Jesus wanted this evil spirit to know it no longer had access. It was no longer to have access to this boy. By doing so, Jesus declared lasting freedom over this young man. In cases where we see someone get free, and I've seen it, and it's so sad to see someone get free, and the next week they're right back at it. They're right back in the same bondage, in the same stronghold. When we see that, we can declare this and we can command this We can command a demon to flee and return no more. Don't come back. Hallelujah. Don't come back. And I'm declaring that over you right now. Devil, flee. Any devil that's here, any devil that's lingering among those that are watching, I rebuke you, devil. Jesus rebukes you. Flee and return no more. We have to use the authority that we have, knowing our identity is in whose we are, and we are the children of God. So the demon immediately responded, and the manifestation that revealed this was that it caused the boy to convulse as it left him. There are many different manifestations of the enemy, of demonic powers, as they manifest themselves in a person and come out of a person. And as they come out of a person. So the boy lay there as if he were dead afterward. The truth is, this is more common than you may think. You might have seen or heard about someone being slain in the spirit. This is something different. Being slain in the spirit is when the body, the human body, is so overwhelmed with the presence of God that a person falls to the ground. This is called slain in the spirit. But when a demon leaves a person's body, when it flees from them, sometimes the same reaction takes place in the body and the body falls to the ground. But notice it says the man or the young man, the boy wasn't harmed. But as the devil left, his body hit the ground and he fell as if he was dead. And some people thought he was dead. So then Jesus reached down to pull him up that he might see all of his torment was over. Hallelujah. Jesus is the deliverer. He's the healer. He's the savior. He is our savior. He is our Lord. It only takes one touch from Jesus. One touch from Jesus. He makes the darkness tremble. Like the song says, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. So the mustard seed of faith this boy's father possessed was enough to produce the desired result in this situation. What does that tell us? We only need that tiny, tiny portion of faith, that mustard seed size of faith to see God move. So true faith is believing in spite of doubt and unbelief. I want to tell you that right now. There's times where I was doubting, especially in the beginning when I began to step out to see people healed. In the streets or wherever I went, I would ask people, and I still ask people, can I pray for you? Do you need healing? Do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a miracle? Do you need something to take place that hasn't already? And as I pray for them, especially in the beginning, as I prayed for people, sometimes there was still doubt in my mind, but I had faith to step out and believe that it was going to take place, that the healing was going to take place or whatever it was. And a lot of times the person still got healed, although I was doubting. And the truth is, I believe that this was the mercy of God, because God wanted to see this person healed, and God still honored what I was doing because I was moving in faith in spite of doubt. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're going to be moving in faith and your mind's going to be going in a different direction, but we need to take captive those thoughts that are going in a different direction. We need to continue to move in faith and act in faith. And as we stay engaged in the work of the Lord, it's more difficult for the enemy to come in and knock us off our square. And it's all about holding on to the promises of God. When everyone around you is telling you to give up, when everyone around you is telling that what you're believing for is ridiculous, you need to continue to press in, continue to believe, continue to hold on to the promises of God, hold on to the word of God, because his word is truth. So when Jesus got back to the house where he was staying, the disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast the demon out? They wanted to know, and this is a great question. They should have been asking this because he did rebuke them. So this means they had the ability, they had the authority, but why didn't they do it? Why couldn't they do it? So he told them, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. And many base teachings on this one scripture. This kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. But I think this is a piece of it. This is a part of the big picture. This is a part of what he was trying to say. But I think his true point was this. They hadn't yet learned the secret of the secret place. So prayer and fasting is profitable for a believer. And we absolutely, of course, we need to pray continually. And we should fast. We should fast from time to time, whether it's once a week, twice a week, once a month, we should be fasting. Amen. But the point Jesus was making here, I believe, was that the disciples hadn't yet learned the secret of the secret place. And what do I mean by that? Jesus would wander off to different places to be alone with the Father. There he would understand the Father's will. He would learn to understand the Father's will. Amen. You may say, well, didn't he already know the Father's will? Yes, he knew the Father's will, but he connected with the Father there. He spent time with the Father. Jesus is the Son of God. But that communing, that fellowship between Father and Son was something beautiful. And as he set aside that time to withdraw from the crowds, to withdraw from the people and be alone with the Father, that was the place where he was strengthened. That was the place where he was focused, or where he was focusing his thoughts and his intentions in his humanity. So it's a place where we're renewed and sharpened. It's a place where we learn to understand our identity and authority in Christ as the Lord has a chance to minister to us away from all the distractions of our day. When we don't spend time in the secret place, the flesh has more of a chance to influence our thoughts and our emotions. But when we fast and pray and set ourselves apart to meet with God, he reminds us of his goodness in all things, and that all things are possible with him. As we experience the life and peace and joy in his presence and of his presence, we're empowered to be sent out again as his sons and daughters to manifest his power in the earth. And we need to do that. Hallelujah. The world groans. The world awaits the manifestation of the people of God, the sons of God. There were times where I've cried out to God like the father of this boy did. There are times I've cried out. You know, especially in the beginning, especially when I couldn't wrap my head around who Jesus was. And I would say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me to cast down this doubt, to cast down these things that seem to plague my mind. I found myself questioning scripture soon after my first encounter with the Holy Spirit. And it was a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes the mind gets in the way and the mind says, are you sure that really happened? Was that a hallucination? And I knew it wasn't. But sometimes the mind fights us when it comes to spiritual things, the carnal mind. So shortly after my conversion, I came before God humbly in desperation, asking for a sign that everything that I had experienced was in alignment with the Bible, with the Word of God, and that the Bible was true. I was confused. So I asked the Lord for a sign. Looking back, I realized that it wasn't that I didn't believe the Bible was true, and it wasn't that I didn't believe what the Bible said was possible. I was afraid that what the people were telling me about the Bible wasn't true, that they didn't understand the Bible, that they didn't understand the Word of God. I had already experienced traumas. I had already been deceived. I had already been lied to by some of my best friends and the closest ones to me. So the truth is, I didn't trust anyone. And I did not trust the people that were teaching me about the Bible and about the Word of God and about who Jesus was at that time. So the Lord answered my prayer. And some of you who know my story, who have read my book, who have heard my testimony, you know that I asked God to show me how real Jesus was, that he had power over death, that he could raise the dead, that he could heal those who were broken, who were paralyzed, and things like that. So the Lord answered my prayer by sending a man to my door who had been shot down in the streets and resurrected and had a story to tell. I didn't know him. I didn't know this man, but he knew me by name. He knew me by name. And that convinced me that Jesus was real, that Jesus had the power over death, that he had power over death in the grave. And this is only one of many stories I can think of when God confirmed his word to me through a sign. I've seen many different miracles. My life has been a life full of miracles, signs, wonders, supernatural occurrences. The Lord knows this world can be confusing. If you're struggling with unbelief and doubt, I want you to know that God knows this world can be so confusing, with many different religions, with many different spiritual beliefs. But if you ask Jesus to reveal himself, I guarantee you he will. I guarantee you he'll show up. He will manifest himself. He will make it clear to you who he is. There are a lot of preachers these days that preach against signs and wonders. They say we shouldn't seek signs. And I would agree that we shouldn't seek signs, but we should seek Jesus. But I would also remind anyone who preaches against signs and wonders that they do serve a purpose. And I want to take you to Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 20. So let's read. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So do you see the purpose of signs? Do you see the purpose of signs and wonders? The Lord was working with the disciples to confirm his word through signs and wonders. So there's a big problem with those who preach against these supernatural manifestations when biblically we're supposed to be expecting them. The gospel was never meant to be preached without these accompanying signs and wonders. So when we share the gospel, we should expect people to be healed who hear the gospel. We should expect people to be delivered from demonic powers who hear the gospel. How many pastors, preachers, and leaders do you know that preach the gospel on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night service or a Saturday night service, and they expect as they preach the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, the lordship of Christ, how many expect for someone in their seat to get up and say, I've been healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I couldn't walk, but now I'm walking. I couldn't see, but now I see. I've been struggling with depression and anxiety for years, and now all of a sudden I don't feel depressed. How many of us expect that? We need to expect that. We need to believe for that. And when we believe and act with the measure of faith we've been given, with an expectancy to see God move, we're going to see results. If you're struggling with unbelief, doubt, or fear, be honest with God. Be real with God. Lay it down before him. It's nothing that Jesus hasn't heard before, and it's nothing that he can't help you to get through. So I want to pray with you now. Heavenly Father, hallelujah. I thank you for your power, for your glory, for your manifestation, Lord. Hallelujah. May those who are watching that need healing be made whole in your glory by the power of your blood, by the power of your name, Jesus. Oh, yes, as we believe that you are who you say you are, that you're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Word become flesh, Lord, as we believe, we can receive. So, Lord, each person who's dealing with unbelief and doubt, I strike down the spirit of unbelief in Jesus' name. Every demonic power that is fighting each person's mind out there, I rebuke you, devil. Jesus rebukes you. Devils be pushed back. Hallelujah. May the glory, may the light, may the power, may the presence of God flood in and fill each one even now. I believe you're receiving your deliverance. You're receiving your breakthrough. You're receiving your miracle, your healing. Tonight, this very hour, Shito Rambaba Shendo Rabasi, Kibu Kundabasandi.